Welcome to the Bold Beans Podcast. I'm your host, Bold Mama L. I'm a believer in possibility, and I have spoken on stages, on air, in print, and in one-on-one sessions with thousands on the subject of boldness versus fear. I created this podcast so that you could become more confident, more authentic, and more vulnerable in your everyday life. In each episode, we will explore real-life stories and provide you with real-life tools that can help you reclaim, remember, and expand your birthright power and freedom. Hello, world. Ever-changing, ever-shifting, ever-expanding world. Hello. Well, you don't need me to say that there is a lot happening, a lot changing, a lot shifting in our world. But I do want to be the one who says, and things are expanding. Things are expanding in ways that we probably will never ever be able to wrap our heads around for a long time. But see, the heart knows. And I'd like to bring us to the heart today. I'd like to bring you, I'd like to bring your friends, your family, all the way into your heart and talk about the subject of excuses. It's really, really, really easy to make excuses right now because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why an excuse would make sense. Since the last time we were together, I was on a very incredible journey back to what's called the United States of America, my home. I have been away for 7 months and been to several different countries, and there's just something about the texture of America. You can land here with your eyes closed, and if you're American, you kind of know you're here. It's like that familiar pie or that good spaghetti that my mom used to make. You know, you can just kind of sense it in the air. And so coming back to America, I just all of a sudden started to notice this whole topic around excuses. It was very interesting. I happened to go grocery shopping a couple, because when I got here, I had nothing to eat, so I had to go grocery shopping. And of course, I had to comply and all that. We don't need to talk about that part. But what did happen is I noticed a difference in the stores. So I went to Trader Joe's, I went to Whole Foods, I went to CVS, and I noticed the difference in how human beings were reacting or leaning on this thing called our new predicament as an excuse. And the most interesting part about this is that if you've ever been to Trader Joe's, they tend to be kind of, you know, kind of happy. It's like walking into an Apple computer store if you walk into a Trader Joe's. And even though they were all gloved up and masked up and sanitation of the carts up, there was still a jovialness that was happening in Trader Joe's. And then when I went to Whole Foods, it was, you know, more of the Beverly Hills of food, so to speak. And, you know, they still had their, you know, kind of posh, we're still a team, but a little bit more posh attitude around sanitation. And then when I went to the CVS, there were handwritten signs. Our employees might be sick. Our friends may be sick. You might be sick. Please, please, please keep on your mask. And I thought it was really interesting because in a store like CVS, no offense if you work in CVS, it tends to be, you know, a younger crowd, that, you know, first time job kind of thing. And lo and behold, when I asked for help, I was kind of pointed to self-service. So if you work at a store where you normally wouldn't want to work at that store, but you're there now, this is a really good time to make the excuse to not have to work or to not have to communicate with another human being. Now, this doesn't have to be specific to any of the stores because technically this is a personality decision. This is a choice that's available to every single human being. The choice to make excuses. Now, in this action-packed 50 years on Earth life that I have had, I have had the opportunity to be a variety of human beings. And so on May 29th, I realized that it's been 20 years since I was at the bottom, the most lowest point of my life. On May 29th, 2000, I crawled out of an abandoned van that I had had an overdose in. I crawled out with nothing to my name and stained yellow hand-me-down pants that I had gotten from Goodwill, God knows when. May 29th, 2000, 20 years ago, I was full of excuses. I was full of the poison that is called alcohol. I was full of depression. I was full of all sorts of things that had weighed me down into the experience called life. So I understand what it's like to make excuses. If there was a such thing as a gold medal for excuses, I probably would have a few hanging on my wall. However, there was a period, just like now, where I didn't accept excuses, just like I don't accept excuses now. I'm not saying I don't accept excuses from other people. Clearly, I accepted an excuse from the millennial who happened to be working at CVS that pointed me to the self-service machine. So I do accept excuses from people because I have compassion for humanity. So sometimes I have to accept excuses. But the excuses from this lady called Bo Mama L, well, those excuses are not going to fly. So today I'd like to share a really interesting story about what happens when you choose not to accept excuses from yourself. Something magical happens in the universe when you decide that you're not going to let circumstances prevent you from having an experience that you know in your heart you're supposed to have. It's like this one of my favorite poems where it says, when man makes a true decision, providence moves. Providence is a synonym for the universe. So when you make a true decision, that sends a message out into the universe. And I always imagine that the angels are like, hey, Tony, somebody down there is serious. Let's go help them, dude. You get all kind of, you know, nice opportunities and trap doors and chutes and ladders that just show up out of anywhere, out of nowhere, when you make a true decision. And in order to make true decisions, you have to stop making excuses. Now, anyone who knows me knows that the reason why I believe we should be focusing all our power on facing our fears and transcending our fears is because when you do that, you begin to exist in what I call magic land. Magic land. Oh my God. Can we actually create magic? Absolutely, 100%. That's what the heart is all about. The heart knows. That's where art comes from. That's where love comes from. That's where music comes from. It is indeed magic. That's where all of our favorite bedtime stories come from, the place of magic. And I believe as bold, divine, sovereign beings, it is our birthright to have a life that is filled with magic. But first, we have to face not only our fears, but our excuses. Once upon a time in a long lost land called the 90s, I was a freelance journalist. I'd graduated from Oberlin College and was very bold and wide-eyed about making it a name for myself in New York City. And after some time, I started to get some traction. I started to knock on the right doors and call incessantly to the right editors. And finally, I was able to have my byline in a magazine that my mom in Michigan could actually go to the grocery store and pick up and read. I had made it. Well, sort of. I'd made it to the point where I knew a few hip-hop journalists from places like the Village Voice and Vibe and, you know, really cool and hip. And, you know, I was like almost accepted into the right circles. but I was still kind of new. And so something incredible happened in our industry. One of the top executives of the top, actually he was the owner of the music label called Def Jam, Russell Simmons, decided that he was going to make the transition from music into fashion. And to inaugurate this decision, there was an incredible party that was going to be happening downtown in Chelsea Piers. I, of course, didn't live in Manhattan at the time. I lived in Brooklyn, and so this was like a 2-train ride away. But that's not the point. Something in me knew that this party was a party that I had to be at. And so there were some people who were, they were second-degree editors. They weren't editor-in-chiefs, but there were people who were contributing writers, and there were people who were associate editors, and I knew a few of them. And so for the days leading up to the party, we'll say about a week, I started to see if I could find anyone who had what we used to call ins to the party. And even the people who had been in New York much longer than I had no ins. No ins at all. I mean, this was like hip-hop and fashion was having a wedding. This was the place that inside myself, I knew I had to be. Excuses. It would have been very easy for me to make an excuse that, well, I'm not invited, because I definitely was not invited. I was not on the list. The people that I knew that had been in New York longer than I had been, they weren't invited either. Even some of the cooler ones that I was kind of surprised. For all of them, this was a party that just wasn't going to happen. If my memory serves me correctly, this party took place on a Sunday, starting around 9 o'clock. So at about 2 o'clock, I'm in my bedside loft with my 4 roommates, and I get an idea. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I got an idea. I'm going to go. Girl, you're going to go. You are not going to be able to get in. You're going to waste your train fare going all the way to Manhattan. No. I said to myself, I have an idea, and I think it's going to work. I'm going to go. So I packed my bags with my best outfit, my best hip-hop outfit. And I wore a white shirt and black pants. And I hopped on the train, the G train, to get down to Chelsea Piers at 3 p.m. I'm standing outside behind the building, waiting for my brilliant idea to take shape, when suddenly, just as I suspected, a stream of other people with white shirts and black pants start to walk inside the building. What do? Well, of course, I fall in line. And I'm walking, and they're kind of looking like, oh, you must be new. Yeah, I am. And I walk inside, and we're all in a circle, and the manager of this incredible place starts to tell us what it is that we're going to need to do. Who's going to pass out hors d'oeuvres? Who will hold the trays of champagne? Who will help the hostesses? On and on and on. This is fantastic. I'm inside. And then, because I'm not really a part of the crew, I end up inside the bathroom. And not just inside the bathroom, I end up inside a stall on top of the toilet, so no one will be able to see my feet. And I lock the door and I wait. And now it's 4 o'clock. And now it's 5 o'clock. And now it's 6 o'clock. And now it's 7 o'clock. And now it's 8 o'clock. And finally, I start to hear a little bit of music. And then I start to hear a little bit of murmurs and a little bit of volume and a little bit of laughter and a little bit of talking, and it has to be about 9:30, almost 10 o'clock. And this is my moment. So I quickly change from my white shirt to my black pants, and I put on this fabulous halter top that I was so proud about with my saggy hip-hop jeans, and I put on my high top Forms Adidas royal blue and my big gold hip-hop homegirl earrings. And I hop out of that stall and I go sashing out of that bathroom. And when I enter this party filled with celebrities and who's who of all around the fashion industry, I freeze. It is a black tie affair. There is nothing but suits, tuxedos, and gowns, and I am standing there like a sore hip hop thumb. Oh my God. If I could have swole myself back in time and disappeared into a void, I would have done it within minutes. Mr. Label Owner meets fashion industry himself, motions me over to his table. And the first words out of his mouth were, "How the hell did you get in my damn party?" He says, "Someone with as many balls as you have to figure out a way to get in here deserves to be over here with us in VIP." No excuses. Sometimes if you're able to just convince yourself that you are not going to accept no as an answer from yourself, the universe will say yes. And all sorts of amazing things can happen for you. One of the people at the VIP table happened to be a movie director who's now a movie director, Brett Ratner. At the time, he was a music video director, and he was at the table. And he said, "You know what? What are you doing tomorrow?" "Oh, well, let me have to look at my super full freelance journalist schedule. I am not doing anything tomorrow. Why?" "I want you to be one of the principals in a video that I'm shooting tomorrow in upstate New York. What's your address?" Oh my God. I went skipping out of the G train subway station, ran all the way back to my loft and told my four roommates, "You are not going to believe what's happening for me tomorrow. A car service is coming to pick me up." And that is exactly what happened. And I rode in that town car all the way up to upstate New York to be one of the principals in a music video by, well, if you don't know hip hop, you're not going to know this name, Eric Sermon. The name of the music video is called Safe Sex. The video is actually on YouTube. And if you would like to take a peek of what happened the very next day after I showed up to Black Tie Affair Fashion Meets Hip Hop Party in Chelsea Piers, just pull it up on YouTube and have a treat. It's been great talking to you today about not making excuses. And the tools are pretty obvious in this story. Take a chance on yourself. Don't accept no. Be creative, be innovative, and be willing to make a mistake, because some of the greatest mistakes will lend you the opportunity to be on good old YouTube almost 20 years later. Yes, 2020 has been a year of shifts, ups and downs, but we are powerful, we are sovereign, and we can make those ups go up and 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 up. Remember to share, like, comment, so we can make this a world filled with bold, bold, bold beings.